Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our recollection series and talk about a defensive lineman that a lot of us probably have forgotten, Marcus Douglas, who played for the Ravens for several years, two different tours. And joining me to talk about him, very appropriately, is his ex-teammate, Brandon Croxton. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. It's always good to talk football and, you know, talking about some Howard University football that relates to the Ravens is always a great thing.
Now, we've heard the Marcus Douglas stories or little fragments of it a couple times on air about just how great he was when he played at Howard and in the MEAC. But kind of give us a sense of that to start, I think.
Yeah, so he was an incredible player. He won MEAC Defensive Player of the Year his sophomore year in 1996. Howard was the won the National Black College Championship that year. Ted White was our quarterback. He was MEAC Offensive Player of the Year, and Marcus Douglas was Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he's a great pass rusher in that year. I think he had like 14 sacks from the almost all from the interior. And yeah, he was a great player.
I was going to ask, where did they line him up? Did he line up on the edge or as a three tech, or where were they trying to use him in college?
Yeah, so we mostly we played a 4-3, and he was a three tech defensive tackle most of the time. He did play some defensive end, but he was mostly defensive tackle. And believe it or not, even some years on our goal line, he actually moved to linebacker, middle linebacker. And I'll tell you a quick story. So there was one play. We were on goal line and he played linebacker, and the other team tried to block him with the tight end. And the way I guess I could best describe it for people, if you all remember the Chad Ochocinco, where he tried to block Ray Lewis on the goal line and just got obliterated. That's what Marcus Douglas did to that tight end. He tried to block him and he just put him right on his backside. They scored on that play, but it was, it was one of those plays where you could hear the pads collide, you know, from the sideline.
Now, one of the things about watching defense is that in goal line, teams typically go to a a 4-4-3 unit. They often have just three safeties as their only defensive backs on the field. Sometimes you have a physical corner and you leave him on, but oftentimes it's three safeties. And it's four down linemen, two outside linebackers, and this is the Ravens now, then two safeties on the far edge of the line of scrimmage. And then you have linebacker, linebacker safety in level two. And there really is no level three on the play. But one of the big differences you'll see is how the linebackers set their feet when they are playing goal line defense. On most plays, they keep their leverage even left and right. They're looking to react to what they initially see at the start of a play, and they're very much upright and squared off to the offensive to the offense. When they're in goal line, they're looking to pounce and immediately hit a gap, and they actually have their feet uneven and they're looking to start. I would not want to have faced a pouncing Marcus. Well, I probably wouldn't want to face any of them, but not a pouncing Marcus Douglas coming through the hole, with a running start. That way, that's a scary proposition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He was really athletic. I guess body type. I would say, if people remember Reggie White, who did not look the most athletic, but was just immensely strong and, you know, also quick and agile, but had that big old gut. That was kind of how Marcus was too, like immensely strong, immensely quick, but he looked about 7 months pregnant even back in college. Yeah.
Now he came out in the draft, of course. And this is a time where I think there was even more large school bias than there is today. I've been actually a little surprised because DaCosta came from the small school side of scouting, did much more of that. Try to say that three times fast. But then he's really been highly biased towards large school picks during his time as the GM. And maybe some of it is thinking, yeah, we can get these guys in the undrafted process. And they've certainly had some success doing that, but the guys they've drafted have typically been power five guys. They haven't dipped down into the Ferris State and, you know, where's the place that Judon came from that's in Michigan also, I think Grand Valley?
I think it's Grand Valley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they haven't dipped down for a lot of those players in years now. But in the case of Douglas, obviously, despite all his success in the MEAC, he went undrafted.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was really a shock that he went undrafted because he was just everything. He was the best defensive lineman. I mean, even the years that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, he was the best defensive lineman in the MEAC. Just so disruptive, both against the run and the pass. He probably had, 30 sacks over his 4 years. Like, he was just an incredible player.
You just answered my question. I was kind of wondering if he'd come out after 3 years, but he wasn't an early exit. He just won the defensive player of the year as a sophomore and a junior then?
He won it as a sophomore and a senior.
And a senior. Okay. So not consecutively. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, he was just a true disruptor, just made plays against the run in the pass. He was a talent that obviously, like you were saying, was just went, underappreciated, and that's why he fell out to being an undrafted.
Do you think it was his body type at all that turned off NFL teams at the time that they didn't really appreciate somebody who looked like that? And obviously he wouldn't have gone to a combine, but he would have had a pro day probably at Howard, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, they had pro days.
Okay. And at some point, is there an underwear segment where he had to weigh in and get measured up? And of course the scouts really just want to, as Collinsworth puts it, want to see them in their underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a Howard pro day was pretty much the same as, very similar to probably how the big schools had it. They did drills on the field, lineman drills, passing drills, everything that you kind of see if you watched a pro day on NFL Network. It was the same kind of at Howard. They took measurements and things like that. It's like, I can't explain, like, when I was there, there was never an injury concern that he had, like, you know, he tore up his knee one year or anything like that. So I don't think it was, you know, because of an injury. It definitely wasn't a character flaw, you know, a character concern. He was a great teammate. You know, he's Christian, born in North Carolina, and, you know, Christian background, like, and, you know, his parents actually went to every game. Every game at Howard and every game, you know, wherever we played. So,
wow.
He was a very good kid back then.
So in 2000, he signed undrafted with the New Orleans Saints and ended up just playing one game for them. So I'm not sure what the situation was. He probably was on the practice squad for most of the year. Extraordinarily durable career throughout, time throughout his career. Ended up playing a fair number of total NFL games. But where he finally got his start is amazing, where a lot of the Ravens' defensive linemen got their start. We don't think of this. The 2000 defense was brought back in its entirety, 10 of 11 guys. Kim Herring, they allowed to walk the Rams, but everybody else returned. And yet they still had an incredible young core of future talent, particularly on that defensive line. And I think it's probably the deepest defensive line in NFL history. You had McCrary, Burnett, Siragusa, and Adams, and they're playing a 4-3, remember, so there's some guys who might be outside linebackers otherwise that weren't really in this system. They also had Marcus Douglas, Kelly Gregg, who entered the league as a situational pass rusher, and we'll talk about more of that on another episode. Jelly Roll Dalton, who was a hell of a player and a lot forgotten other than his recent health struggles and some of the attempts to fund that. Larry Webster, who we're going to talk about on a separate episode. Adalis Thomas, who was really a 4-3 end slash a hell of a lot of other things at that time. And then also Peter Boulware, who in that 2001 season when McCrary went down, jumped in, played full-time defensive end and led the AFC in sacks.
And had 15 sacks that year. Yeah. So it was, I mean, I would have problems, you know, picking out a deeper defensive line in anywhere. I mean, you're probably talking about, you know, the fearsome foursome, you know, if they had backups that were
the next most fearsome foursome. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, but yeah, like all of those players that just had really, you know, turned out to be good starters for the Ravens and then would go on elsewhere and become starters, you know, at other places as well.
Yeah, a lot. I think the way I define it is in terms of like total career games played, playing for the same team in a year. I'm guessing this has got to be right up there because Douglas, Gregg, Dalton, Webster, and Thomas all had long careers.
I mean, it's rare to have, you know, three guys probably to make it 10 years. And those were the backups that made 10 years. So,
Now, you talked a little bit about what he looked like. He listed at 6'2", 290. Was he really playing a little heavier than that? Well, it might have been his weight coming out or something. But what would you have guessed he was actually playing at?
He's a legit 6'2". He was probably on the lighter side. 290 might have been a little generous when he was in college. I'm sure he gained weight in the NFL. So, but yeah, he was probably on the 270 side in college.
He through 2002 didn't really had very much playing time. So he had that one game with the Saints. He had a few little games with the Ravens, but he only played 8 games. He'd had 2 sacks and 13 tackles through 2002. And then all of a sudden, he really broke out in 03 and 04 with the Ravens with 2 very fine years. Obviously, by 2002, the whole front four was gone with the exception of McCrary. McCrary was still around. Then he was gone after 03, I believe. And he honestly didn't play all that much from 01 to 03 between the injuries. He missed a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But back to Douglas. Douglas had a terrific year in 03.
Yeah, that was a big, huge breakout year. He was able to win a starting job. Played that starting defensive end, and Was it 2003 that they switched to the 3-4?
Yeah, they're in the 3-4. So he was really a five tech and sometimes a three tech because they play a lot of nickel, of course. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, when they switched to the 3-4, he won the defensive end spot and he really broke out. He was that playmaker for the Ravens that he had been at Howard. He was always a tremendous penetrator, and he did that with the Ravens. Was able to make stops on the on the run. He had over 10. He had about 10 tackles for losses and mm-hmm. 4.5 sacks. So he proved just a tremendous value, you know, while he's still making basically undrafted rookie money.
Yes.
For the Ravens.
And you had a player for 5 years back then. So the 4-year free agency didn't come into the 2011 CBA. So he's a real value from that perspective. Had 4.5 sacks that year. Here's the big thing. He played 732 snaps in 2003. Now the Ravens don't have anybody playing that many snaps today. 69.4% of the snaps. And, you know, it's remarkable in terms of that sort of durability for a player. Now, they have had a few guys who've been up in the 70% range. Kelly Gregg, I think, made it either once or twice, and Elodie Nada did it 4 times where they had 70%. It's always like right at 70, 70, 72. I think Nada was 1 year at 76% of snaps. But I just want to point out, for the Ravens, a rotational team, Marcus Douglas was a player you wanted to have on the field a lot, and he could help you run and pass. But a guy that they really had to worry about overusing.
Right. Yeah. Durability is, you know, so huge, and being able to just, play that many snaps, and be durable over a 16 game, you know, especially as physical as the NFL was back then. A lot more running, not as much passing, but he was starting to transition to a more passing league. But it was still just a very physical league, and to be able to play that many snaps and be that productive on the defensive line is, you know, it shows, you know, what a great athlete he was, and, you know, what a hard worker he was in the offseason to be able to prepare for playing so many snaps.
What do you remember about him personally in terms of him technique-wise, in terms of violent hands, first step? What was his kind of like signature of that made him such a great penetrator?
Yeah, so he had a great first step, and he had extremely violent hands. I don't know if our former Baltimore Colt, Sander Shiver, was actually our defensive line coach.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he was very, hard on, you know, having the right technique, lining up, working on angles and edge and, you know, basically, you know, focusing in on the technique. So he had great technique, and he was just, you know, I mean, he was at Howard, he was, you know, he was just everything. He had quick first step, you know, violent hands, strong. I remember in the weight room watching him bench 200 incline press 250 pounds like 20 to for 20 reps, and I was like, well, that's something I'll never do.
And an incline press means it's a little bit easier than a flat bench press.
An incline is harder than the bench press because you're basically kind of at like at a 45 degree angle rather than laying completely on your back, so it's a lot harder to bench that much from the incline. Yeah, he could bench that kind of weight that many times. So he was country strong, I guess you could say.
All right. Well, very good. Had a fairly similar year in 2004. And I've got a comp for people. And this is a comp that you may remember, but I think a lot of other people won't, honestly. James Jones, a nose tackle for the Ravens in the late 90s, kind of similarly undersized, similar build in terms of being right around 6'2 and just under 300 maybe. Very slippery. And Marvin Lewis realized that value and used him to stunt more than any player in Ravens history. And by the way, I have been trying to find James Jones to be on this show for an interview. If anybody knows how to reach him, I kind of know he's in a particular town.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
That was affected by Hurricane Katrina, and I've seen some articles about it, but I haven't been able to find his contact information. If anybody knows and would pass him a message, I'd really appreciate it. That I'd love to have him on the show. But James Jones, I thought, fairly comparable player, and a guy who certainly racked up some sack numbers similar to Douglas in terms of being a very valuable interior penetrating defensive lineman. After you have Matabike for a season, you like kind of make other people seem less, but a 5-sack total for an interior defensive lineman throughout Ravens history has always been a remarkably high total.
That's a heck of a year. That's a heck of a year for any interior pass rusher, because it's you're often getting double teamed. You're also often getting cheap shot by a center. So
somehow I knew that was going to come up on this episode again. You never had like a serious injury from a center that like affected your career, did you?
No, and it's funny. My friends say, you know, something happened to you with the center before. I was like, no, it's just how us defensive linemen think. You know, you're fighting somebody one on one, and somebody comes and hits you in the ribs from behind, and you really don't see it coming. So that's what a center does.
You and Marcus Douglas, for that matter, and Larry Webster all played in the era where you were allowed to high-low block with consecutive linemen along the offensive line. So now they've made that illegal and chop blocking also. You can't go high-low from any players. That was true before, but now you could. The last holdout was to allow high-low blocking by consecutive offensive line alignment on a defensive lineman. But then they took that away, and you know the offenses are whining about not being able to run the football and defenses. It was the biggest reason not to play defensive line was the possibility of getting those high low blocks.
Yeah, I mean the knee injuries that would happen all the time it was just so common back then. You just had to do something about it. Like I mean, you know, similar to a horse collar tackle, or you know, now they're talking about the hip drop.
Yeah,
you know where you know it's just a dangerous play, and you got to try to eliminate the danger as many dangerous plays as you can. Because football's as hard as it is without the dangerous ones. So
yeah. All right. He left after 2004, and we have some highlights, individual game highlights to talk about. We'll get back to it in a minute. Always had a number of plays for loss. He had 10 in 2003, 11 in 2004. He had 13 with the 2007 San Francisco 49ers. So he went out there, had three pretty decent years with them as well. And then came back to the Ravens for 2008, played 16 games again. So it's the sixth time in a 7-year period that he did that, and had another 330 snaps on that defense. That defense is great again, by the way. That 08 defense and the 03 defense are probably the two most not properly placed defenses in Ravens history. So 2000 was great. Of course, 2023 was great. And a lot of people think of 2006 as being great, but they don't really think of 2003 and 2008. And in some of the things I've seen, 2008 is the greatest Ravens defense.
Oh yeah. I'd certainly remember that was a great one. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people will probably remember that was Joe's rookie year, and the excitement of us finally having a decent quarterback probably overshadowed the defense a little bit. But yeah, that was, I mean, they won a bunch of 17-14 type of games. And that was one of those great teams. And, you know, like maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't think anybody had that one of those monster. Well, no, Ed Reed. That was the year Ed Reed had like 10 interceptions.
Ed Reed had a monster year, yeah.
And yeah, okay, yeah. But he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year for whatever reason. Yeah.
They gave it to Polamalu or Harrison, one of those two.
That was
so
Harrison.
It's,
it was Harrison that year.
I think this is the year, and I'm looking at the thing right now, making sure that I've got this right. But I think this is the year they didn't allow more than 13 points in any home game, which is that's incredible for a run at home. And they lost a game or two. They lost one of the Titans 13-10, but they had a great year. Let's talk about some of the big moments in his career. I'm sure you've got a couple because you're a big Marcus Douglas fan, but I have four here, and it's sometimes for defensive linemen, it's hard to find these great games or great plays individually. But I've got four here that I wanted to talk about.
Sure. You want to start or you want me to start?
Sure. I'll start. I mean, in the 2003 season ending win against the Steelers. So the big news that day was Jamal Lewis was going for the record and the Ravens had nothing to play for, which ended up being a pretty stupid decision given that they had to play the Titans the very next week. The team was very heavily focused on Jamal Lewis, obviously, at that point. In that game, Marcus Douglas had 2.5 sacks. At that point, it was his career high in tackles with 8 in that win over the Steelers. Had a really fantastic game, completely overshadowed by everything Jamal was doing.
Yeah, four tackles for losses. So he was in the backfield often, you know, And that was, you know, yeah, definitely one of those highlight years. I remember being at that game, and I, like everybody else, I was cheering for Jamal to get to 2,000 and then break the record. But yeah, he had a heck of a game, and the defense really played hard to try to get the ball back to Jamal as much as possible, because Jamal was having, you know, it was, that was a slow grind for him at the beginning of that game. You know, Pittsburgh was, you know, a tough defense too, and you know, they were slowing him down. But yeah, he was, it was a
tough assignment, because he needed what, about 154 yards or something that day, and ended up getting to 2066. It's just that entire effort is something they would not do it today, even with a 2,000 yard season on the line. I don't think they would do it. I think they'd let a running back finish with 1,950 yards if that were the case. Jamal obviously had a great run that was in along with the defense, the big reasons why the Ravens were in the playoffs at all. They went 5-1 down the stretch with Anthony Wright at quarterback.
Yep.
And you know, that was pretty impressive, but that defense just was something really special. And Marcus Douglas, one of the big guys. I'll come up with one other game. Well, let's stick in 2003, because he had his career high for tackles in a game in actually the 2003 playoff loss to Tennessee at 13 tackles. So while, you know, they didn't have Derrick Henry at the time, obviously, but they were trying to run the football, and McNair ended up throwing three interceptions in that game, which kept the Ravens in it in a game they didn't do a whole lot offensively. Marcus Douglas was one of the real defensive standouts.
Yeah, that was Eddie George was still there at the time, and Steve McNair, he actually won co-MVP with Peyton Manning that season, and yeah, that was a tough game, very tough game. Like, it was hard fought and very physical. Like, you know, most Titans Ravens games were back then. I really that's one of those rivalries that you kind of miss, because those were as fierce as those Raven Steeler rivalries were, you know, back then as well. So, he's just one of those players. You know, he harassed Steve McNair. I don't think he got any sacks that game, but he was able to penetrate and, you know, get after him and flush him out of the pocket a few times as well.
I got another one, and it's another one where he's over. It's like every big game he had, he's like having a great game in circumstances where somebody else has the spotlight. But in 2004, in the win at Washington, now a lot of people, you think about that game, you might not remember it as a 17-10 win. They came back. I think it was on Sunday Night Football as opposed to Monday Night Football, but it was one of those two. In any case, Ed Reed had a famous walk up to the line of scrimmage in the way Ed Reed was wont to do, and came off the edge. Mark Brunell, a left-handed quarterback, he got him from the backside off the right side from the offense's perspective of the line, knocked the ball loose, recovered it himself, turned it upfield. It's incredible the way Ed Reed was just a magnet for the football, but he was able to find the football wherever he had knocked it, be it a punt or a fumble recovery or whatever, and took it in the end zone for the score that brought the Ravens right back into the game. They were down 10-0 at halftime, had not done a damn thing, and Reed got him right back in the ball game then. But that day, Marcus Douglas had three tackles for loss in that win. And again, he loses the spotlight to Ed Reed in that one.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love, you know, as a former defensive lineman is an unheralded defensive lineman like Marcus Douglas was, like Arthur Jones, or, you know, the Ravens have had so many guys like that have, you know, they go unheralded. They don't get the flat. They're not that big flashy, but they make the Ray Lewis's, the CJ Mosley's, the Roquans so much better. And, you know, they make plays. They're, you know, taking up linemen and getting in the backfield to disrupt plays. Guys like that, I just love. And the Ravens have really always found a guys like this. And, you know, Marcus is right up there with them.
Love that too, Brandon. Absolutely love it. And it shows up in our star quality notes every week on the defensive side of the ball. I have three or four or five players that I'll, you know, put all our notes for in the play. And oftentimes that ends up being defensive linemen anyway, because I don't yet have access to the all 22 by the time I write it. Okay. So, so it's a lot, there's a lot of focus on those notes of those players. By the time that the show is, I'm in a little better position to talk more fully about it, but the, for the article anyway. And it, I love the defensive linemen who get penetration, bifurcate the backfield for a running back and, you know, force him to basically run into the back of his opponent, get him tripped up, get him retract. And those guys don't often get the tackle credit, but they make plays for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I love defensive linemen like that. You know, Corey Redden was also one of those guys I absolutely loved back, back when we had him. And yeah, Marcus was that dude too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael Pierce and Brent Urban, both on the current team, are both similar players. Urban, a great denier of space. Pierce can move anybody, any one-on-one guy he wants. I think Travis Jones is going to be a similar player. So it has been the Ravens' way kind of to have these guys who help other players look better.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. How about another highlight of any sort?
Another game. So in that same season is another game that Ed Reed stole his thunder a little bit. That Jets game back in 2004, when, you know, people probably remember him playing rock paper scissors with
Will Demps.
Will Demps, yes. Yep. And then later in that game, Lamont Jordan throws as dumb a halfback pass as you can right into Ed Reed in the back of the end zone. And Ed Reed took it back, 106 yards or whatever. There was a holding penalty that brought it back. But, you know, that was the play of, you know, the game and, you know, the highlight. And yeah, Marcus had three tackles for losses and a sack and a half and seven tackles that game. And he actually started a streak of four sacks in five games from the interior.
Huh.
But outshined by Ed Reed, of course.
Yeah, so it happens obviously with any number of players. But I tell you what, that 2004 game, I will always cherish it. And Marcus Douglas is definitely mentioned by Garceau on the announcing of that game. And if you remember, that's the precursor to Sound FX. So it's the first time that they ever did it strictly with recordings from people who were there. It's mostly players, and it's both the Jets and the Ravens radio announcers that they have on and that they're going back and forth in. So like literally the narration is all done with live sound collected at the game. So Casey Roback was one of the guys who had a mic on him. And I remember the one time where he speaks up is when some defensive lineman is getting off the pile off the top of him and he presses down on his crotch to do so. Goes, hey. But you know, yeah, the rock, paper, scissors with Reed and Demps, you have the reaction on the sideline from Herm Edwards to Lamont Jordan throwing that pass. You know, basically, mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how the time was going. And it was, no, that's Ed Reed, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. What a great game. I mean, if you have not seen that video, it's probably out there on YouTube because somebody keeps posting it when they force them to take it down. So it's probably out there as a game of the week on YouTube that you can still watch. And it's one of the all-time great football broadcasts and one of the ones that's so far ahead of its time and really changed the way in a lot of ways that we look at football. But obviously a great Ravens win 20-17 in overtime and very fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was Ed Reed's Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
So I guess he deserves a lot of shine for that. But yeah, he outshined my guy that game.
Talk about your relationship with you and Marcus over the years. Have you kept up at all with him since he's been back down in North Carolina?
So when he was here in Baltimore, I'd see him, you know, a couple of times a year, and we'd catch up. But after he retired and he moved back to North Carolina, he's married. He's been married for Well, he was married back when he was playing, so he's been married probably close to, if not over, 20 years now. They have a daughter who's, you know, about to graduate high school or is graduating. So, yeah, he's living a good life, and you know, back home in North Carolina. So he's, you know, good guy though. Yeah.
All right. He'd be another one that'd be a lot of fun to have on the show to talk about those Ravens defenses of that era, and go through some of that. Brandon, you are specifically the right person to have on this show. It's always fun to talk football with you, but you're specifically the right person for Marcus Douglas. We're going to have a conversation. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do it right now to talk about Larry Webster in the near future. But I'm looking forward to that as well. And I wanted to thank you a lot for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for having me. And yeah, this is fun. Yep.
Where can people talk football with you online?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Brandon Croxton 5, and yeah, love to talk Ravens.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do one of these recollection series, these are a lot of fun, and they won't all be as long as this. I'm looking for them to be about 15 to 20 minutes each. Come up with a player that you really appreciated during his time with the Ravens that's not at the very top end. So we're not going to do Ed Reed. We might talk about Ed Reed as we're going through and some of the ways we haven't been able to avoid it in this episode. But, we're trying to talk about some of the players that people may have forgotten. And in particular, if you know someone before 2000 that you really have fond memories of, Derek Alexander, Michael Jackson, or Vinny Testaverde, or Orlando Brown, or pretty much anyone who played in that era, I priority to those guys, and just DM me on Twitter. They're always open, and reserve your player, and I'll get back to you very quickly, and we'll schedule a time to record. Brandon, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.